his yoke, not one of somebody's teachings. And that is still affecting many people today from what we've taught. It took me 9-10 years to get rid of everything that I learned in the church that I grew up for 30 years. I had to release it so I could be set free by the Holy Spirit to move freely. So anyway, he broke the yoke and went from there. But see, today it's sin. And he says, I also know, and I've watched this many times, I understand people know have so much knowledge and wisdom, and they have the word, and nothing against that, but it's the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke. I don't care what you got. I don't care what you know. I don't care what you're thinking. If you're not anointed and walking with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to break down what you need to get broke down. You're going to still keep walking the way you're walking. You need to have the Holy Spirit set you free in such a way in some areas. I'm not coming against anything. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. You have to listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying to that. Because I've seen some great Bible teachers that do not understand what's going on at all because they're missing the Holy Spirit. Myself, through my walk, I was saying a lot of things. I remember one time I was at a church. It was a Methodist church, and they wanted to have the layman people talk. So they asked me to teach, and I'm thinking, I don't want to teach, but I'll teach just to help you out. So I taught, and I got up there, and I says, I'm no better than the person that's drunk in the corner, you know, down on the streets here, you know, and because God loves us, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Wow. I said a lot of stupid things through my growth. I learned later, no, that's wrong. When God came into my life, when I asked him into it, the sin nature was removed and God's nature came in me. I'm no longer a sinner. I am no longer a sinner. Because if you think you're a sinner, then you got a problem. If you've asked Jesus Christ in your life until you get that revelation knowledge, you're not a sinner. Are you going to sin? Yes, you have a flesh. And your flesh is going to war against your spirit. But in your spirit, you are a child of the living God. You have righteousness of Christ. You have everything there. Yes, we have to develop the righteousness of Christ, but you are the righteousness of Christ. You have the nature of God in you, which is the Holy Spirit. And when you get that revelation, I got the nature of God, and I don't have to do this anymore, and you start to work that way, see, that yoke of Jesus on top of you, the Word of God, will start to set you free. Problem is we just get back into our hurts and pains and we just let them have their way and our mouth starts to move the way they shouldn't be moving and say things they shouldn't be saying. That's human nature. That's our flesh overriding our spirit. And the more maturity you get in that, the more you change. But I went back and the Lord says, put it out in a different way. I'm going to put it out a little bit different than I've never put out before. I've understood it. It's just kind of different the way I heard it. So I'm going back to Job 38 through 3, 3 through 7. Job 38, 3 through 7. This is NIV. And the reason I'm running NIV, I normally do not do NIV simply because there's so much missing in the NIV. It's easy to read, but it misses a lot of things that you need to know. But for some reason, I was reading this one day and I ran across it and I'm thinking, wow, I like that. So this was Job, and it says, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Ooh. He was sitting there saying, I just want to talk to God and get this straightened around because this is wrong. God came down and says, brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me. Like, you know all the answers. I'm going to give you the opportunity to tell me what you think. I'm thinking, oh, okay. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched the measuring line across it? On what was its footing set? And who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. And see, when I read that, the thing that got me the most about that, it says, somebody laid the earth's foundation. It wasn't just the boom, it's here. It was late. It was found out. It was desired. Somebody stretched, you know, the measuring line to find out exactly the size of it. Something went on there. And what was its footing set? And when I heard that, I'm thinking, what footing? I know about construction. And the first thing you do is you put a footing down to put a foundation on. Without that footing, the foundation can move. So this is the foundational, and I never seen that in other verses, and that's why I said New NIV is the only one that I put it down there, because that's the only one that says footing. They talk about the cornerstone being attached, but they didn't say anything about the footing. And footing is very important. If you build a deck on the back of the house, you take and drill holes and you put concrete footings in there so you can put the post on it. You got to go down below the 4 foot frost level, or otherwise it's going to be moving on you and you're going to have it fall off the back of your house eventually. So the fact is, by putting that down there, that's that footing. Who put that there? And it says, and where was its footing set? How was it set? It has to have something to be set in. Oh, it's just a boom. Yeah, right there. Nothing there, right? Nothing's there. Yes, there was something there. And the Lord said, go back and look at Genesis 1:1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. Now think about that. What was here? And I'm going to explain this in a little bit so you can have an understanding exactly what's going on. What was here? The Holy Spirit was here. Before he created, he had a whole plan. He had it all figured out. He had it measured how big it was, where the earth was going to be, where the moon was going to be, where the all these planets are going to be. He had it figured out. But he had to do one thing. He had to put life there to bring forth what he wanted. You have to realize he had to put life there before he brings forth what he put forth. We'll talk about that. That's something to think about. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now I'm going to tell you one thing. You can go back, and I don't want to get into it too far today. That was right after the fall of Satan that this is talking about, when the earth was without form. It was not built without form. Satan, Lucifer, was here until he became prideful, and then there was a war and kicked him into hell. Down beside the pits, it says in the King James. Removed him, but there was a destruction that went on, and that's what was left over. Then God came back in and started to rebuild it from that point. You can look at it. There's a lot of theologians can tell you. You can get in depth. If you need help, talk to me and we'll work with that. But that's just so that you know what's going on. On that, so what happened was when we got down there, but it moved. There is a truth that will help you understand how God works. There's a truth out there on how God works. You know, I asked my father one time, how does it work? I pray and something happens. And God says, and Dad says, that's all you need to know. You pray and it works. I says, no, I got to have more understanding. There's got to be more. I have to know how it works. Why does it work? What's it going on? There was more in me. I had to do it. I was not satisfied until I started to learn about more. I says, and what was the footing set? When I said that, what's a footing set? I said, God, what does this mean? Where is the footing set? And who laid the cornerstone? How did this all come to about? In the forming of the world, as we know it, it was after the fall of Satan. It was formed before, but then Satan fell. There was a war and got kicked out, and because of sin entered in. If he had not, he was the father of sin. He's the father of lies. He's the father of everything. He was the creator of it, you might say, on this earth. Was it available? Yes. You might say, what do you mean? I know we heard the Deuteronomy 32:39. Now, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal. Whether it is, you know, yeah, I didn't write that down very well. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. So in other words, God wounds, God kills, God makes alive, God heals. He does it all. But he never set up evil until evil was found in him. Iniquity. And there's more that we can get into as a lot, but I'm not going to do it today because I don't want to ruin what I'm doing. So I just want you to understand. I understand all that stuff. I had a pastor one time, I kept saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He's missing a lot of stuff. Till one day we're in a meeting and he starts saying, I said, he does know it. I didn't know it, but he never told the people. He was just preaching what he's preaching and he didn't do it. Because that's where you learn, out of the preaching, not here. But on Wednesday we can talk more about issues and make things happen. So anyway, I pray you get this understanding of how God works. This is something I've never put out. It's something that I feel will help people to understand more. First, God is the Alpha, Omega, the beginning, and the end. He was here before. He's going to be here after. You can try to figure it out. I don't know if anybody ever has figured it out. How, where'd he come from? Why is it this way? He's a spirit. He's here. Now, how it happened, I don't know. I know inquiring minds want to know. Well, then you have to ask God because he's the only one that knows, and he might tell you, and you might have to wait till you get to heaven. But when you get to heaven, he can talk to you about it. You might understand more once you get there. As soon as you get there, I think it's like you're, wow, that's what it's all about. You won't even have to ask him. You're just going to know it. It's going to be awesome, amazing. All your questions will be answered quickly, I believe, when you get there. First, God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That's the whole thing. Without that, there's nothing. And he says, now, God has three parts. I haven't talked much about that. I know it. The Trinity, they talk about. Three parts. And if you see, each part is very important, and what each part does makes a difference on everything that we live with. The first one is God the Father. Father means creator. Father means creator. God the Father sits in heaven, and he has created everything. And I know the other day I was sitting in the office, and the Lord kind of said, see, you're sitting here in the office, but you speak forth your word, and it goes forth into people to help change. You know, if somebody called me to find out how you're supposed to do this or that, as I was a mechanic, like moving something or doing something on, you know, their washer and dryer, when I knew more about it at that time, because I kind of forgot most that I remember that I did at the time, but they wanted to fix that or fix that. I know we did on our refrigerator, did that, worked on tractors and all that stuff. I would explain to them what to do. So my words would go forth and give them wisdom and knowledge to go do what they need to do, but they had to do it, okay? So first, the Father is in heaven. He is the creator. God the Son is the Word of God. So God the Father took, and what did he do? He spoke in, we're talking about Genesis 3, 1 and 3, and God said, let there be light. Boom. Guess what happened? There was light. How did it happen? How did it work? He said this. That was a word. He spent it forth. Something was there, had to grab that word and make it work. Something had to take the word and make it work. If I speak to somebody, the somebody is there has to take that word and make it work. If you look at a video and somebody gives you the wisdom, it's not the video that's going to make you have it happen. You're going to have to happen. You have to do something. You have to make it work because you're the one that it's coming the information to. So when God spoke, let there be light, it went to perform what the Lord says. The word says that, you know, his words are not going to return without void. So he spoke it. It happened. How did it happen? See, I'm still saying how. How do you get this figured out? That comes down to God, the Holy Spirit. the power and life of God. It's the power and life. See, he's a spirit. He's omnipresent. Every place you go, God is there. Why? By his spirit. We think worldly. We think fleshly. We think presence. See, even the devil is a spirit, but he's not omnipresent because he's not God. He can't be every place, everywhere. He just can't do it. He's a spirit. He is just here. He's got demons all over. He's got evil spirits around that help you, you know, help him do the job that he wants to do. But he's not omnipresent. He's right there, and that's all he is. He's on one place at one time because he's a spirit. He's not God. God's omnipresent. His whole spirit goes all over the place. It says if you're in heaven or if you're in hell, he's going to be there. If you're standing there and the light's out and you think God's not seeing you, he's watching you. You are in trouble. He's already got it. He's got angels standing around watching you, writing things down, and they're sending up the book of remembrance. You know, it's all that good stuff. It's things you don't want to think about or know about, but it's true. It's in the Bible. And when you get there, the book of remembrance will be pulled out and said, you remember when you did this? You remember when you did that? Those are things that are happening. But see, it's the Holy Spirit, the power of life of God. And when you have wisdom of this and start to walk in it, you will do miracles. Why? When God said, let there be light, what happened? The light went into the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit immediately brought forth the light. Whew. It'll get you some real understanding. So that's interesting. Maybe you already know that. Praise the Lord. So, God the Father had a plan. And that was Ephesians 1, 3 through 5, and I've talked about that. Now we praise God the Father for, and this is New Living Testament, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly realms because we belong to Christ. A long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has already been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave him great pleasure. To adopt you as a family. That's what he wanted to do. And I thought about that. I understand about the new covenant. I know when you ask Jesus Christ into your life, you become a child of God because the Holy Spirit comes in you. But when Adam was created, Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us, this is King James, let us, who's us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit all came down to earth and formed a body. And then God breathed into Adam. Okay? And what did it say? And let them have dominion. He says, God said, let us make man in our image. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's three parts to us. Spirit, soul, and body. Three parts. Same thing as God. Now, we don't leave ourselves. We're right here. Okay, we understand that because we're physical and we're not spiritual. But I'm just saying, that you know, the spiritual things can happen. I'm not going to get into that at the present time. But I'm saying, you got to realize, he made us in his image. And I'm sitting here, and the Lord says, say one thing, and that was, Jeremiah 1:5, I say it a lot. He formed us in the womb. He knew us before we were born. We were a spirit before we came to this earth. He formed us in the womb. He brought us forth. And what did he do? He anointed us. In other words, we have through that life in Christ. See, without God, you don't have life. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no life. It's dead. That's what happened to Adam. When he sinned, the very personality of God, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, left him and went back to heaven. Now he still has a spirit in him, his spirit man that God placed in him. And they walked around because he didn't die. If that spirit left him, his spirit man left him, which is his soul, mind, his will, and emotion. It's the attributes that God put in each one of us. When if they were to die, your body would be gone. It's the only thing that keeps your body alive. So in the Old Testament, all the way through, they were spiritually dead. There's a few that were anointed by God to do this, that, and the next thing. But mainly not until the very first time when the Holy Spirit came back down. Life came back down to the body, to the man. See, they put a law, a physical law, to be able to work with people in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, he says, I'm going to write the law on your mind and on your head, on your heart, your mind and your heart. And he says, you know, I'm going to give you and make you my son and daughter again. If you can go that way and understand that. I know the devil's trying to stop right now, but I'm not going to bust this down and quit it. I know he's been trying to stop this thing. About lost everything I had when I came back to readjust things to make sure I was right, what the Lord wanted, and about lost it all. And finally, the Lord got me back without losing the whole thing, which is a blessing. So I know there's an enemy that does not want you to understand this. But I'm telling you all this. Because you have to understand it. When you understand, it's the Holy Spirit which is life. And we've talked about this some time ago. See, God the Father sent God the Holy Spirit into this full area when he sent, so he could send his word in and create everything. If you go back to quantum physics, if anybody knows about quantum physics, what they do, they have found in each cell a living section. And in that cell, they said they can even watch it. And I forget the actual naming of it, but they'll watch. It watches you. It moves around. When you speak to it, it changes. Why do you talk to plants and they get better? You know, we've heard of that. Talking to plants, they get better. What is the Bible said? Whatever you say, you know, you're going to eat of it. The fruit of your words, you're going to eat of it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is all around us. The Holy Spirit is in us. And whatever we say, it goes to that very center part of that cell and it starts to develop exactly what you're talking about. It's giving full authority to God or giving full authority to the devil. Whatever you want to do, whatever's happening. So this is part of the whole process of understanding. See, it's the Holy Spirit. So you have you, which is the Holy Spirit. You have your words going out. And if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled, you know, if you've given your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit's on your words. If you're doing it from God's point of view, if you're not, then you're giving the authority over to the devil for your words to come out. A long time ago, I said, either your words are a comforting coat or a knife. It's either going to comfort the person or it's going to kill them. And that's very important because, see, when you start to realize what happened when God spoke, it went into the Holy Spirit and produced all this. And he sent his word to heal us. So when it came down, guess what? It died on the cross. He died on the cross because, he was walking in the anointing. He says, I can't do it until the anointing comes. He says, it's not my time yet when he did the water on the well. But he had to wait until he was anointed, and same thing with us, until we anointed. When we start to go that way, immediately this is the full understanding. The anointing's there. The Spirit's there. When you speak your words, you're speaking the same thing as if Jesus is standing here. You're saying your words, if they line up with the Word of God, are the exact same thing Jesus would do. And we'd have the same results if you understand and believe and you start walking that way. When you start understanding exactly through the gifts of the Spirit, immediately you're going to start to know in revelation. When you have revelation, you have healing. When you have knowledge, you'll hear from the Holy Spirit what to say and what not to say. There's times I refuse to pray for anybody because the Lord already told me it's not worth it. But people are out there praying for him. It's like a time I walked in to a church I was at in this one room, and this one guy asked me to come pray for his wife. And I went in there, and her mother was dying, and They're all saying, oh, you got to do this. You got to pray this. You got to walk them down the aisles of the hospital and bind up the devil 7 times and get this thing all done. And they're going to do, and they're saying this, and they're hearing, well, she's going to live, and she's going to do this, and she's going to do that. When I walked in that room, the Lord had already told me, tell her one thing. She wants to die. Her will is involved in this whole thing. I learned it from a guy before. It says he wanted his father to live. And everybody was praying they would live. And the Lord told him, he says, no, he wants to die. He wants to come home. And your prayers are keeping him from coming home. And they had to make a decision to release them because, see, we're all sovereign. We have a will. And we're going to do, God's going to honor our will over everything else. No one can do against our will. So sometimes we have to pray and ask God to get their will involved to be able to be changed before you can get anything done. So, but you have to understand, God's given you the wisdom. It says, God, the Holy Spirit knows everything. Everything about God. He knows everything that's happening. He knows what's going on. How much time are you spending with the Holy Spirit and praying in the Holy Spirit and asking him for wisdom and asking for knowledge? You need to. I've done that. I pray in the Holy Ghost all the time. A lot of times when I'm even in worship, it just comes out of me. Why? Because I want to be so full of the Holy Ghost. I want to be so anointed. I want to hear exactly what I need to do for each person because each person is different. I know I want to do this and I want to do that, but that's not what maybe they want. Many times people want to be miserable. So you just leave them miserable and you give them to God and say, Father, you deal with them because I don't have time to mess with them. Because they will take and they'll eat. And that's why the scripture says, don't give your pearls to swine. Because they'll take it, they'll use it, and then they'll come against you and tell you you're no good. You're rotten. It didn't help me. Didn't do this. Yet you've done a lot for them. But because, see, they're so messed up, and only God can change them. We try to do things wrongly sometimes. We need to understand what we need to do to help people change. But don't go overboard and do things you don't need to do. And the only way you're going to know is when you start to get in the presence of the Holy Ghost and you allow the Spirit of God to move on you and you ask him questions on what's happening. And then you're going to start to see this, that, and the next thing. And then all of a sudden you start to see things change because you're doing what God wants and not what you want. This is the full wisdom of the anointing. So many times we take the word and try to use the word to do something, but it still takes the Holy Spirit. It still takes our understanding what God wants. There's a lot of things in here. It can confuse people. I'm not trying to confuse people. I'm just telling you there's three spirits. There's three parts of God. Father, Son, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's three different things they do. The Holy Spirit is in us. And when the Lord speaks to us, he can come in us and it will change us if we desire to change because we have a will. We don't have to change. We can be miserable the rest of our lives. And I watch too many people be miserable the rest of their lives because they refuse to change. God can bless them and make them happy and enjoy themselves. I know, I'm an example. I've had so many people that have tried to do this, that, and the next thing, and I just sat back and I said, Lord, I said, I give it to you. I want to do what you want to do, and through that whole process, God is changing and bringing things in. So, praise the Lord. I pray that Wednesday we'll have a good conversation over this because there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about. And when we get the revelation that you don't have to do anything, you just have to walk in the anointing. You have to understand what God's wanting, how things go. You need to know the Word of God. You need to be able to speak the Word of God. You need to realize the Word of God is anointed. So the Word of God will work. But when you put it in the right situation, just as God spoke into the Holy Spirit, lights came. The earth was developed. Man was created. Why? All three were working together in unity. And so many times people try to do this or try to do that, and they're only using portions of what we need to do. The understanding is not there to achieve what they're wanting. That's why I put this out and put it out different than I normally do. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for each and everyone here, for fathers and for their lives. And, Father, I ask you just bless them and help them to be even better fathers in this time as it comes forth. And, Father, we just have some cupcakes back here, and we just ask that you bless it to our bodies. And Father, I pray that we just have a fantastic day, and everybody gets together with their family if they can, and just have a good time in the name of Jesus. Until bless each and every one until we meet again in the name of Jesus. Amen.